to the point where she wrote
the RCMP. She wrote the RCMP.
No, she wrote to the BC Forest Service.
Okay.
And she wrote to Canada Post that was working out of this small communities like Horsefly and Likely and so on, complaining about their service. How could they possibly expose an innocent boy from Norway from such an experience of nearly being trampled to death by a galloping moose? And then she wrote to the head of the BC Forest Service. And the personnel manager nearly got fired. He came up to me afterwards and he said, "You're damn lucky I'm here, or I would have gone after your hide."
Yeah.
So I wrote to Mother, and I said, "If you pull that stunt again, you'll never hear from me again."
Yeah.
Because when we came into the local post offices, I would send a letter home to Mother, "We're going to be in the Horsefly area. So you send the letter, post the stunt to that address, and I can go and pick it up."
Yeah.
So we would check into these small post offices to see what had arrived. And I got into Horsefly, and this big woman standing behind the counter said, "So you are Cor Helen." Because she had heard from Victoria,
wow,
what a shitty service she was providing.
Oh no. Yeah.
I was glad I was with a number of other people.
Yeah.
So all these poor posties got shit because of me, because of Mother's.
You'd think that most of them would understand that you had nothing to do with that, really, right?
Probably.
I would
probably.
So.
But it absolutely stunned me that people knew my name here in the Horsefly.
How many years did you work timber cruising?
How many years?
In timber cruising. How many years were you timber cruising in the bush?
In the summer of 56 and the summer of 57. And in the summer of 58, I flew to Norway because Mother and Father wanted to see me. And in 59, I graduated. And then worked for 2 years for the BC Forest Service.
Right. Where did you work again?
I was cruising the timber. Fantastic. I knew BC more or better than I think 90% of the people in BC.
Mm.
We were all over the place. I never got to Kitimat. Prince Rupert, but I was all over the place. I even was in charge of the boat that was went up Seymour Inlet, and when the captain fell ill, we had to get another guy to come in and take him to hospital, and then we were without a captain. Mm-hmm. So we're supposed to contact another cruising ship that was going up in the same area, up into the fjords. And so a Cessna water plane landed by our boat. And I had to get into this plane, and we flew all the way down and into the many inlets looking for Scott Finding, the guy who was in charge of the other boat. We couldn't find him. But the flight trip to see the mountains and to fly up these valleys that were just like the west coast of Norway, going woof into the, you know, that subduction zone there.
Yeah.
It was magnificent.
I bet.
A private tour. To part of the BC coast that people very rarely see. And I had just got back. This was in 1960. I had just got back to the boat after having given up on that. And I got a call from Victoria. You have to go to Norway. Why do I have to go to Norway? Your mother is dying. Mm. And I said, I don't care. Oh. And the guy at the other end of the line, which was the assistant of the assistant director, said, you are going to your mother's funeral. Mm. I didn't have the money. So I telegrammed back to Norway saying, I can't go. I'd have to fly. Mm-hmm. I don't have that money. I mean, I'm just out of school it wasn't possible. So money was shaken loose from somewhere in the family. Peter in Eau Claire, my Uncle Peter, somehow got the money to me. Mm. And then I flew home. And I hated every minute of it. It was a violation. I know that I did the right thing under those orders, that I would have felt terrible if Mother had died and I hadn't seen her.
Yeah.
But there was nothing there.
Send the guy in there. If you hadn't seen her.
No, that was in 1960. Who is out there?
One of the boys.
Oh.
Not very happy. Yes, say that again, I'm sorry. If you hadn't seen her.
No, I flew home in 1958 to visit with Mother. That was just a terrible time.
Was it?
Oh, God.
Why?
Back into the same straitjacket that I had left. Hmm. I felt so angry. That's where I stopped off for 4 days in Reykjavik.
Yeah.
Because I really didn't want to go home.
Yeah.
And they had buggered up my summer's work. I worked out of Hinton then for the pulp mill.
In 58?
Yeah, summer of 58. Very unhappy. And then when I was working up on the coast at Seymour Inlet, that was when I had to fly home, and I didn't want to go either.
Right.
I knew this is just a peak. They were two years apart from 58 to 60.
Yeah.
And I had to go back again because Mother was dying.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I saw her and was able to part with her.
I remember you telling me that you saw her in the hospital.
Yeah.
Were you the last one to see her?
No. She hung on to life, everybody thought, because her sister Maggie was supposed to come.
Oh.
And when the sister Maggie came, she lasted only for 1 or 2 days, and then she died on the 9th of June in 1960. She was completely eaten through and through by cancer. Everything. She had a huge lump on her forehead.
Wow.
Looked absolutely gross.
Had you met Mum by then? Had you met Hillary Spriggs by then?
I'm sure that I had, because...
You were only married in December of 60, right?
Yeah. 28th, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So you would have known... So did Mum get a chance to ever meet Louise?
No. And then on my return trip, I stopped off at the Spriggery.
Right.
In Bederfe.
Yeah.
And as we were having a dinner together, this huge poplar fell down parallel to the house. Woof! We saw this right through the window as it went by us like this.
Wow. Lucky.
very lucky. It could have wrecked. It could have killed us.
Yeah.
If the wind had been in the wrong direction. I think that it. You and I are not particularly special because we have all these stories to tell. There are a lot of other people who have done similarly to what we have done.
It's true. It's true.
So when you look at all that mosaic of all these people with all of these particular interesting experiences, some frightening, some really enriching, of all types, it's a wonderful weave, you know.
It's amazing. I often think that when I'm in an airplane, actually, and I look down and I can see cars driving, and I think of the people that are inside those cars and all the different various experiences they've had, and I'm looking at the whole patchwork and I'm trying to imagine all those people in those cars and the things that they've seen and done in their lives. I worked with, one low point in Toronto was many years ago. I worked at a car dealership washing cars. That was my summer job. And the guy who was in charge of the shop was an old Hungarian guy, and he was very crusty, but he seemed to take a shining to me. And so we talked a lot. And he eventually told me that he'd escaped Hungary in 56. And he said, "Oh, you don't believe me." Of course, I did believe him, but he wanted to show me. He lifted up his pant leg, and there was his ankle was all bumpy and bulgy around there. And he told me that was shrapnel still inside his leg.
Oh, wow.
And he said he intentionally didn't take it out because he wanted to be reminded every time he walked about what he left behind.
Wow.
His ankle was probably 6 inches around, 6 inches across, and it was all bumpy.
He would have lost his foot. Yeah. Probably couldn't have put it together again.
I don't know. He seemed to walk okay.
Did he?
Yeah, he got him in his leg and eventually settled down all through his inside his skin, I guess, and settled around his ankle.
I knew a lot of the Hungarians who came out to UBC in 56. You know, the UBC, the forestry, accepted the entire school with their professors and their families.
Wow.
And they UBC couldn't absorb them right away, so they had to learn some English before they could really be integrated. So they went out to Campbell River, just north of Vancouver, and they were living at this pulp mill. And the pulp mill had simply made barracks available to them for classrooms.
Mm.
And so there were professors teaching English who would travel up there for a week or 2 weeks or a month or whatever a term to teach them English. And then they descended on UBC. They came, they marched onto campus with the Hungarian flag, and it was very touching. Very interesting people.
Yeah.
Man.
Do you remember feeling politically aware at that time?
Yes. I had lived in Norway during war, so when I heard that these guys were coming, I was all for it.
Yeah.
Man. It's terrible. It's terrible what people do to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.